LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere, as always. And we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing, man. We're just talking before the show, and we're now officially like a week and 2 days away from the first game of the NFL season. So I'm pretty psyched, man. I know some people like dread this part of the year because it's like it's about to become really busy. And granted, we're going to be busy, obviously, but
we're going to be busy having fun.
Yeah. And that's the thing is just like we've been waiting all year for this to happen. And it's like I can't wait to see football on my screen again. Like real football being played that counts.
Preseason's fun. I mean, but it's just not the same. You're right. So our guest today is Bob Harris of FootballDiehards.com. And he's a member of the Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame. Bob, thanks for taking the time to join today's show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Good to talk to you again, Mike, and good to meet you, Bobby. And yeah, work is play, guys. This could be much worse. Digging ditches is the other thing I'm qualified to do, and it's not as appealing as this.
And by the way, guys, Bob is found on Twitter at FootballDiehard, and his site, again, is FootballDiehards.com. Now, before we move on to the show, I wanted to remind you all that the final entries for the Listener League should be submitted by Thursday night because we're going to be contacting the players who will be participating on Friday morning. We actually have two Listener Leagues. Tags already did one, which was a PPR league with an extra flex. Now, I like those settings, but my league's going to be a little different. And my league is the one that we're going to be selecting listeners for on Thursday night. And we're going super flex. So that's where you can use two quarterbacks in your starting lineup, you know. And we're going to be doing 6 points for passing touchdowns, -4 for interceptions. And I'm doing it this way because I think it's just crazy that the single most important position in football has minimal importance in fantasy football. Sleeper app, which is what we're using for the site, lets you do all these custom settings, and it's really cool. Plus, it's fun to mix up the draft strategy. So I just wanted to add a little twist to the league to make it extra competitive. So like I said, we are doing these drafts through Sleeper app, and when I heard about this, I was like, oh man, another commissioner side I've got to learn. But I kid you not, within 5 minutes of going to sleeper.app, I wrote an email to the other members of my friends league and pleaded with them to switch over. I said, take 5 seconds, go to sleeper.app, you're going to be convinced too, and guess what? They were convinced. The vote passed 12-0. It's perfect for redraft leagues. But I also have a dynasty league that switched over, and it works great for that too because we've got custom playoff rules, and it's just so much easier than the other sites for that. Anyway, if you want to submit an entry, go to fantasypros.com/listenerleague and make sure to hurry because we're picking Thursday night. Again, that's fantasypros.com/listenerleague. Now, guys, I was looking over the listener mailbag, and, you know, we've got a ton of questions, so we should probably get to those sometime on a show here, Tags. But one stood out to me that I want to ask you two about to start today's show. It's from Scott in Chicago. He's a Bears fan. He says, it's been a while. I need some Mike Evans talk. He absolutely busted for my team last year, seemingly due to inconsistent quarterback situation, the offense spreading the ball around because of all their, you know, effective targets. I don't see anything different going into the season, yet every expert around the league has him locked in as a wide receiver one. Am I crazy wanting to put him behind guys like Hilton, Diggs, Thielen, Fitzgerald, even Tyreek Hill?
Bob, what's your take on Mike Evans going into the season?
I share in some of those concerns. I'm pretty much more confident in the other raft of guys, the AJ Greens, but they're in a similar vein. And I think, you know, you're hoping for the targets with him because obviously the catch percentage is not what you're banking on. You're counting on the heavy volume and the big catch radius and the 1,000-yard seasons. But I am a little worried, you know, with OJ Howard coming on, maybe being a little more prominent in the role. And more importantly, Chris Godwin, who looks like he actually catches the ball when it's thrown to him in the end zone.
He's good, isn't he?
It looks very good. So, yeah, those are concerns. Look, I think you're still drafting him based on opportunities. A lot of the way I draft is based on opportunities. He's going to get a ton of those. I know if you're worried about, say, Ryan Fitzpatrick starts, you look back last year, I think Fitzpatrick in the three games they played together, targeted him, Evans, 6, 10, and 12 times, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I think, you know, the volume is going to be there because he's such a big target. And, you know, Jameis Winston clearly not afraid to go to him. It's just he's got to be more efficient with the work and he's got to improve a little bit. Still, I mean, it's a solid floor, you think, with him, right? I mean, maybe he doesn't hit his ceiling, but he seems like a safe bet to hit that floor.
That's my thing, too. And, you know, this is why I want to talk about Mike Evans, because he's one of these players you just can't figure out. He's been in the league 4 years. He's got 1,000-plus yards in every season. He's a lock to get 135 targets, right, Tags?
I would believe so. I mean, even with the talent surrounding him, if Chris Godwin makes it into the starting lineup over DeSean Jackson, and DeSean Jackson's only on the field for 3 wide receiver sets, that would be somewhat shocking, but that would be detrimental to Mike Evans because Chris Godwin is more of a possession-style receiver than DeSean Jackson, and he will take away some of those targets.
Yeah, and that's where Evans makes his money.
Yeah, but I think it's fair to say that Evans, I think last year may have been his floor in terms of production-wise. Like, he had 1,000 yards, he had 5 touchdowns. He's going to score more than 5 touchdowns. When you're 6'5", you know, 235 pounds, you're going to score touchdowns. Like, he's been really up and down, and I think that says a lot about the quarterback connection with him and Jameis Winston being a little bit on and off. I also think it says a little bit about Mike Evans in that I just don't think Mike Evans is like an elite wide receiver. I think that he's an above average NFL wide receiver who just happens to have one of the biggest bodies in the NFL, so he's going to get targeted. I always struggle, Bob, to picking between Mike Evans and Doug Baldwin. Those are two players who I often look at the start of the third round. And I mean, I think Doug Baldwin might be a little bit safer, but he's been up and down a little bit throughout his career, too. It's just
I got Baldwin. I think he's safer. Not as much upside. I mean, right. We talked about league winners yesterday, and Mike Evans is a league winner. He was the wide receiver one in 2016. Now, the other two recent years, wide receiver 27, wide receiver 20. So it's a little scary.
Yeah, I think we're trying, you know, we're drafting on Mike Evans, hoping for that rookie year. I think with Baldwin, it's been a little more even production, just, you know, fell short, just short of the 30,000-yard season last year, like by 9 yards. I don't see a lot of talent competing with Baldwin for that, you know, for touches, for looks, and certainly no one with a proven connection with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the guys that he mentioned, you know, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Larry Fitzgerald. I think that there are question marks about all those guys, especially T.Y. Hilton. I think Mike Evans, like you said, Tags, that is his floor, like wide receiver 25. So that's not bad. That's not going to kill you. Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, I think they could kill you. Hill's not going to get the targets. Hilton, if Andrew Luck gets hurt, we've seen him just be a dud. So I'm not worried about Mike Evans.
Yeah, I think the thing you can know with Baldwin is he's going to catch the football. You know, I think he had one drop out of 76 catchable passes thrown. You know, Hilton, a little boomy busty. You think Tyreek Hill is going to be that? Although, you know, I get if you're, you know, we talk a lot about balanced rosters. We should talk about the balance, you know, within the position. So, you know, if you get one of those guys that you're looking for big upside, like Tyreek Hill or T.Y. Hilton, the boomy busty guys, maybe you have to come around and get one of the steadier performers, kind of a high catch guy, especially in PPR leagues, you know, a safer play. So, you know, you mix that volatility with a little safe type talent.
So here's what we've got planned for today's show, guys. We're going to talk about players to avoid rounds 1 through 10 that we just think going in that range are just too high. Like, obviously, if somebody drops far enough, even if Jimmy Graham dropped far enough, I would take him. And that's probably my biggest player to avoid. But we're going to be talking about those guys just so you don't go into your drafts this weekend and make the mistake of grabbing a Deshaun Watson. We'll explain why later. I don't know. Maybe Bob will disagree with us. But we've got a little bit of news to talk about. And Tags, I think it has to start with Royce Freeman, who is not starting for the Denver Broncos. What?
Yep. Vance Joseph, you know, he came out and said that Royce Freeman's actually going to play in the fourth preseason game, and that's kind of a joke. He has outplayed Devontae Booker. Devontae Booker has had a shot to start with this running back gig. I don't know what's happening here, but it's incompetent. It's incompetent coaching. It's not rational coaching, as our friend Sigmund Bloom says. So, I think this should concern you with every single player on the Broncos roster, because it just means that the best players aren't on the field and they're not scheming around the best players. That's how I take this.
Like, are they trying to lose? What's going on here, Bob?
It is quite odd. I was on the air last night on Sirius, and look, there is not a rookie running back I'm more confident in what his workload or what his role will be going into the season until I'm watching NFL Network and Broncos starters will not play for this week. Royce Freeman will start. What?
Amazing.
So how long are we going to have to watch the Broncos try and pound the Booker size peg into the feature back size hole without success? I mean, I find it hard to believe that they don't see the same thing we see, eyeball test alone. And granted, you know, there's a lot of things we see as fantasy owners. We see a very narrow band of information. The coaches are there every day, all day. They're around these guys. I just wonder if this isn't taking that whole, you know, veteran respect thing to a ridiculous level where, you know, all the rookies coming in have to earn every second of everything they get. And look, Freeman is by far the better back. We've seen it in the games. We have a body of evidence dating back, you know, to previous seasons with Devontae Booker. And I think he's a great ancillary player. He comes in and he can play a role, but every time they try and thrust him into the primary role, it hasn't been that successful for them. I'm hoping they've learned their lesson and this is all just a horrible dream.
I hope so. If I had to bet before the preseason started, I would have guessed that Devontae Booker would have been cut, right? Because Philip Lindsay is there. Royce Freeman's running great. D'Angelo Henderson's a better running back than Devontae Booker, and Booker's just been a dud. And now he's starting. Now, I've got my shares of Booker because NFL teams do stupid things. There was a chance he was going to start, and it looks like he's starting, so I don't know what to tell you. Like, obviously, don't drop Royce Freeman. Where are you taking him, Tags? Is he still a fifth, sixth-round pick?
Yeah, he's falling for sure. I mean, I tweeted this on the 24th, so it was 4 days ago, and it was before all this even happened. I said, if the Broncos continue to strut Devontae Booker out there as the starter, quit on their competency. Booker should be closer to getting cut than he is starting. I tweeted that 4 days ago. So to know that he's starting, quit on their competency. That's basically what it comes down to. Royce Freeman's going to end up having value, but if you draft him in the fifth round, you're going to be disappointed because he's obviously stuck in some sort of timeshare. I don't like it.
Kind of like a Joe Mixon last year.
It's so ugly, man. And like I said, they like Philip Lindsay. He's earned a role. He played with some first team snaps this past week in the third preseason game. So I think it is somewhat close to Joe Mixon. Obviously, we know who the most talented one is, but he's not on the field. So if he's not starting over Devontae Booker, I can't spend a fifth round pick. If you get down into that, you know, that Ronald Jones area where it's like, you know, they're not starting the season, but eventually they'll get there. I'm okay with that.
I think Freeman will eventually get there too. I think it is interesting that Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post had the little blurb where he thinks Henderson is not going to make the final cuts and he's already getting nibbles, which should tell you something. If a guy that isn't cut yet is already getting nibbles or drawing interest from other teams.
Yep, you're exactly right. Man, this is just crazy. I'm still taking Freeman in the early sixth. I think it's going to be quick. I don't think it's like a matter of time like Ronald Jones. I think this is going to happen quick, maybe even by week two, maybe even sooner than that. He's too good. I can't see it going another way. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but it just blows my mind. Guys, another running back, and this is some interesting news. Mike McCarthy thinks Jamal Williams is going to have a big season. Is this just coach speak, Tags?
I don't know if it's coach speak. I mean, he said earlier this offseason that it's going to be a three-headed monster. Now he's saying that Jamal Williams is going to have like a monster year. And I think people gave up on Jamal Williams a little bit too soon. Playing alongside Brett Hundley, it's not going to do you any favors. The offensive line was dealing with some injuries down the stretch as well.
He was a workhorse. He was a top 12 running back over the last half of the season.
He was top 10 from week 10 on. From week 10 through week 17, he was a top 10 running back. So, I mean, I do believe that you want want the running back attached to Aaron Rodgers' offense. I mean, we saw Eddie Lacy finish as a top six running back multiple times, and obviously we saw what Eddie looked like outside of the Green Bay offense. So I think Jamal Williams could turn out to be a fantastic pick. The best part about it is, though, Bobby, you could actually land both Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones in your fantasy team while not spending a top six pick on either of them. That's basically what it comes down to.
I just don't think either is going to be a workhorse unless injuries happen. And if that guy's not, if that's not happening, sure, they'll be okay, but I don't think they're really going to outperform their ADP. That's my problem with Williams.
My concern with both of them is, and it's kind of something that I've been doing in all these cases, let's say, you know, I mean, it's more obvious with Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb, although, you know, Hyde's growing on me, but I would say the same for, you know, anytime the early down role is getting chopped up by two guys or has that chance, I'm maybe looking for the guy with the more certain role. In Green Bay's case, maybe Ty Montgomery a few rounds later. At least I know maybe a solid PPR floor. Or those other two, look, I'm glad that Mike McCarthy thinks Jamal Williams is looking good, but that's fine right up until the minute Aaron Jones is looking good, right? And it takes is one series. You know, the hot hand theory will prevail. And that's always my concern when you're chopping up that early down roll between two guys. Maybe one guy gets to start. That doesn't mean he'll get the finish. And sometimes that third guy, the satellite guy, has the more certain role.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Tags, why don't we talk about Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz, who are still not playing?
Yeah, no, it's a worrisome thing, right? Some people are saying that Carson Wentz, they're expecting him not to play until week three. So, I mean, this is concerning.
Which could mean week six, or could mean the entire season like Andrew Luck. Who knows?
Well, it's an ACL, so I'm not going to think that. Like, Andrew Luck's was a little different, being the shoulder. But, like, Alshon Jeffrey's another one who they're saying that might not start the season on the PUP, but that doesn't mean he's not going to miss a couple games, that they can get him back before week six. I'm worried about Carson Wentz. Like, Alshon Jeffrey, he'll come back at some point, whatever. But I'm worried about Carson Wentz because his injury wasn't too long after Deshaun Watson's. And Deshaun Watson's been playing. He's been there throughout the entire training camp. He's been fine. Everybody said he looks great. To know that Carson Wentz still hasn't been cleared for contact is worrisome to me. And I don't know if it comes, you know, just a few days before the season. So I think that Eagles fans, I think fantasy fans should brace for Carson Wentz to miss week one, if not week two, from what I'm hearing. And it's worrisome. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey has dropped down the draft board where it's like, you know, he's going in that wide receiver 30 range. If you want to pull the trigger, you know the risk involved with him. You know what the potential is. So, but Wentz is the one who is like, if you don't have a quarterback for the first couple of weeks, I mean, you can argue that he shouldn't even be drafted.
I have Carson Wentz extremely low, like extraordinarily low, that when people see it, I get all kinds of tweets about it. I'm not going to change my rankings because of what people think. I wouldn't draft Carson Wentz. Even when he comes back, the touchdown rate is going to be regressed so far. Who knows if he'll be the same after the surgery? We've seen this happen time and again where these quarterbacks come back from a big surgery like this and they're just not the same player, whatever it is, something mental going on. I don't want Carson Wentz. But if you have Carson Wentz, who are you picking up, Bob, in the first 2 or 3 weeks to cover him?
I think, you know, that's a lot of doing that a lot with running backs as well, you know, with all the talk of the guys getting off the slow start. So it's kind of a nice way to do it. Look, I'm pretty comfortable. Maybe I reach a little bit for Wentz and hope that he rounds into form and I draft him maybe at his ADP. And then I come back around and I'll grab, you know, the Phillip Rivers or the Matt Ryan or the, you know, ideally Matthew Stafford. And, you know, the drafts we're in, the industry drafts, you know, guys are waiting on quarterbacks. So double digits for Stafford is not like a totally unusual thing. And maybe you reach around and you don't feel that bad. But either of those guys, I would do the same, you know, if I think Luck is going to turn back into Andrew Luck, which I'm not completely sold on, by the way. You know, but if you really want him, you draft him at his ADP and secure the services. And I would do the same with Wentz. And I've seen the price has dropped crazy. And it's almost to the point where I'm, you know, I'm such a value addict that I see him down to, you know, way outside where he had been going, and it's almost like I can't resist. But you can, there are so many quarterbacks you can target that are, you know, what I would call the steady Eddies, the guy you know is going to be on the field. And at some point, you know, if you wait forever, I mean, you know, we all know Blake Bortles finishes the last 3 years. I mean, you know, no worse than 13th. I mean, there's guys you can get if you're waiting until the very end and have some hope that they can carry you through. Look, Odell Beckham's going to be the best thing since sliced bread. Sterling Shepard is solid. Evan Engram's a great tight end. Saquon Barkley's going to catch a ton of passes. At some point, the guy who's getting them all the ball is going to have some reasonably productive games if all those guys are all in our top 10s, right? So,
yes.
So, you know, waiting on these guys is not waiting on quarterbacks is not an issue for me.
100% agree. Okay, guys, we're going to get into our players to avoid here in just a second. First, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, NFL Game Pass. And I can't wait to just settle into my couch and watch some football this weekend. Only with NFL Game Pass can I get every out-of-market preseason game live. The top rookies, comeback players, new players on new teams. It all happens in the preseason and is going to give you a huge leg up to actually see players playing football.
You could watch Royce Freeman.
Yes, I could watch Royce Freeman. I'm more excited, though, to see the Vikings take on Tennessee. And you know why, Tags, because I can't get enough of Mike Boone and Rock Thomas running crazy on another defense. If I miss the game, I can replay it after it's aired. Whoever you want to watch this preseason, you'll need NFL Game Pass to do so if you're out of market. Is Josh Rosen going to steal the Cardinals' job? How's Jarvis Landry going to fit with the Browns? Can Kirk Cousins take the Vikings to the next level? Make sure to watch all the action this preseason with NFL Game Pass. And best of all, you can kick off the 2018 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. Game on. All right, guys, so we're moving into players to avoid, and I'm not really sure there is anyone to exactly avoid in round one. There are two players that I definitely won't be getting because I have them behind another five guys who are going after them. It's Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. I've given my reasons for them earlier. Bob, how do you feel about Kamara and Kareem Hunt? Do you want them where they're going?
I'm kind of with you, especially on Hunt. Look, one of the things I should stipulate, at least, I'm in a lot of drafts. Right? Like close to 100 drafts, including best balls. And so I have the luxury of diversifying a little bit. So if I face a decision where I'm deciding between a Kamara and maybe a Saquon Barkley or whoever, I have the luxury of diversifying a little bit. So I do have some shares of Kamara. If I'm playing in one league, I want to try to limit potential downside, right? And so you look at Kamara and you see that efficiency last year. Look, I think his workload will increase a little bit early. I think when Mark Ingram's back, it's going to go back to the same thing. In fact, maybe they have reason, you know, assuming they think Ingram isn't going to be around beyond this year, to go all Mike Tomlin on him and run the wheels off him. And so, you know, those things are concerns. Look, if somehow Kamara can repeat that, duplicate the efficiency from last year, that would be grand. I think betting on it with that kind of draft capital seems like a bit of a risk, right? So there are maybe other guys I'm looking at that are more solid. And I kind of feel the same about Kareem Hunt as you do. And one of the things that has me even more worried is watching the Chicago Bears second team offense literally eat that starting defense alive. How much is Kansas City going to be playing from behind, which obviously plays into the hands of the narrative that, wow, this is going to be a passing team. They made the change to Patrick Mahomes. They bring in another big target. You know, and Hunt can, you know, contribute as a receiver. I just worry if the game script's going to work his way. And then there's the looming specter of Spencer Ware, which is easily forgotten. But he was the guy last year until he got hurt. And now he's back. So those are all reasonable concerns, I think, if you're for both of those guys.
Tex, how do you feel about Kamara? I'm getting so much heat on Twitter for saying I don't have Kamara in my first round.
I think that's a bold move to put him out of the first round. I do believe that he belongs in the first round. My pick, actually, you guys didn't even talk about, is DeAndre Hopkins. I think people regret taking him over Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, and Michael Thomas. Like those are receivers that I just feel like they're going to offer you a little bit more consistency. And granted, DeAndre Hopkins, the target totals that he's been seeing, it's hard to find those. But at the same time, we know that there's going to be some regression. DeAndre Hopkins finishes the number one wide receiver last year, sure. But if you look at the seasons before 2017, his numbers were not great. They were not like over the top. Considering how good Deshaun Watson was, they should have been better. That's basically what I'm saying in terms of his target share. So with Will Fuller there, with Kiki QT coming into the offense, with Bruce Ellington actually looking really good this preseason, actually showing rapport with Deshaun Watson, I just feel like DeAndre Hopkins, his targets are going to come down a little bit. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bad player. I'm not going to say you hate having him on your team. I'm just saying you're probably going to regret taking him over these other elite wide receivers.
I agree. I've got DeAndre Hopkins as my number six wide receiver. A lot of this goes to Watson. You know how I feel about Watson. We're going to talk about him later, so I won't spoil it. Bob, how do you feel about DeAndre Hopkins? And is there anybody else in the first round that you just don't like at their ADP?
I'm okay with everyone, you know, that's in the first round, going in the first round. There are guys that I would rather not take, or I'm not as eager to take. I'm looking more for a running back in the first round. Maybe that forces me to take Kamara, maybe when I would prefer to take somebody else. And I still think he's a first round pick, but I think your concerns are legitimate worries. But I mean, look, we know the turnover rate in the top 10 for running backs. You know, it's a big deal, and it's a similar for wide receivers. So it's a high turnover rate either way. There are receivers I feel more comfortable drafting, and I prefer to draft later. I'm not avoiding Hopkins if it's like really late in the first round and I see one of the running backs I want on the turnaround, but it would have to be late in the first round to draft for me to draft any of them not named Antonio Brown. And really, I'm not that I don't have as many shares of Brown as I have in past seasons, because if I'm drafting in that top five or six, I'm just more comfortable with the running backs I'm seeing.
So what running back are you taking at number five?
I'll go ahead and take Barkley.
Okay.
It's Barkley. Kamara is, you know, the 5-6, right? So I'll generally take either of them ahead of the wide receiver this year.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I mean, I've come down on Barkley a little bit because of the hammy and everything. The schedule coming up front is a lot more difficult. Now, he's an absolute workhorse, but Melvin Gordon has just been so safe week to week to week. Leonard Fournette, I think he's a league winner if he stays healthy all 16 games. So I've got those two ahead. And it's not that I don't like Alvin Kamara. It's not that I don't like Kareem Hunt. I would just rather have, you know, Gordon and Fournette, who are going after them. Gordon's going number 11 right now, and Kamara's going number 6. Kareem Hunt's going number 9. And when I say ADP, that's average draft position. And same with Hopkins. He's 10, and I've got Beckham number 12 and Julio Jones 14, both ahead of him. So, you know, it's not that I don't like Hopkins. I'd love to get him, but he's not going to fall to me because I'm taking those guys first.
One of the things that I've, you know, been looking at a little more closely is something that my one of my serious co-hosts, Jeff Manns, talks about a lot in terms of his DFS lineups. But it kind of works as well. You know, he'll set his, you know, cash game lineups early in the week on Tuesday. Then he spends the whole week, you know, looking at the potential downside of each guy and trying to eliminate all the downside. I think that's a good way to approach at least the first round of your draft is look, I want this, you know, I mean, and there's pitfalls with everybody, but you'd look at all the potential downside for these people and you try and eliminate those guys. And I think for fantasy purposes, I mentioned it before, but I'm stressing opportunities. So that's the thing for me with Barkley, not just, you know, the draft capital invested in him, but also you look at what Pat Shurmur was doing last year with Dalvin Cook in Minnesota as the coordinator, as the play caller there. The usage that we saw, I mean, I think, it, you know, I think we were all maybe a little surprised. I mean, not that Dalvin Cook came in and was doing well, but the heavy usage. And I think Barkley can expect the same kind of thing. So opportunities are what I'm trying to draft here. And I think the receivers, it's maybe a little more volatile.
Now, Tags, as we're moving into the second round, I see a few names that are just going way too high, in my opinion. Are there several names like that for you, or does everyone look about right?
You know, when you get, the first two rounds are pretty difficult sometimes to find guys that, you know, you would actually regret, because those are usually the ones that it's like we can guarantee workloads for. And so the reason that the name that I put down in this range, actually, people will probably be shocked listening, is Devonta Freeman. You know, I started work on the primer actually yesterday, so it's pretty exciting. This is like the start of the fantasy season for me. So I started work on that, and Devonta Freeman, did you know that he totaled more than 12 carries just 2 times after week 4 last year?
Yes. Yeah, they wanted to get Coleman involved. That's scary.
And one of those games was when Tevin Coleman was out.
Scary, man.
Yeah, I just taking a running back in the second round that's involved that much in a timeshare, and even if you go to the playoff game against the Eagles, they split 10-10.
Well, I mean, Kamara was even worse, so like, what's your problem with, why don't you have a problem with Kamara?
Well, he's not catching as many passes as Kamara.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is Kamara is like a wide receiver. Like, when you think about Alvin Kamara, don't worry, yes, you're not getting that many carries, but he legitimately, I think there was only 8 wide receivers last year who caught more passes than he did, so you're getting essentially a wide receiver and a running back in one. Devonta Freeman wasn't used in the passing game a whole lot last year, and that's why you saw him finish outside the top 10 running backs. Again, drafting him there, I understand people have seen it before with him, and like, he's got a track record of production, but adding Calvin Ridley to that offense, Julio Jones getting positive regression in the touchdowns, Tevin Coleman being a free agent at the end of the year, I see this to continue being a timeshare, and I find myself wanting to draft Joe Mixon over Devonta Freeman.
A really good offensive line for the Falcons, but that's about as good as you get. I agree in there. You know, the series of concussions, the multiple concussions is a concern for me. You know, look, this is something where we should all be paying attention to. And look, it's hard for me to draft either enthusiastically draft either Freeman or Coleman, right? Because they are splitting. And so if I'm in that range, you know, I'm just happy waiting a few picks, and I'm all about Jordan Howard right there. Again, opportunities, and you know, we've heard what Matt Nagy said about him being a 3-down back, you know, and I'm sure they'll get Tariq Cohen in there, but I think Howard's a guy that maybe people are overlooking. And you mentioned the other thing that's growing on me is that whole idea of drafting a wide receiver who's also going to get 100 plus carries, and that guy is named Christian McCaffrey. So There are guys in that range I'm a little more comfortable with right now. Dalvin Cook, if he falls down, even coming off the ACL and with a change of coordinator, I like what I saw from him last year. And, you know, we'll see how it pans out. Maybe you don't get everything you're going to get. Look, we need to win the early games, but it's down the stretch when I want these guys contributing the most. So there are ways to draft where I can have solid starters early if I'm worried about Dalvin Cook, but I'm not really worried about him.
Yeah, so Devontae Freeman's kind of low on my list. I'll get to another couple names here in a second. But first, Bob, who do you have in mind in this round that's just a little bit too high for you?
T.Y. Hilton is probably a guy that's maybe at the bottom end of that range that, you know, look, he's not a 10-foot pole player for me, meaning I wouldn't touch him with yours because I might touch him with yours. But my 10-foot pole is poking him. He's a little boom-bust anyway. Look, it's been really good production with Andrew Luck. I'm not denying that. I'm just still not sure that Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck. And so I think in this range, he's the guy that makes me the most nervous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely worried about T.Y. Hilton as well. I think there's a pretty big drop-off once you get past, you know, Baldwin, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, and Larry Fitzgerald. So I'm okay with taking Hilton if he falls far enough, but right now his ADP is 30. I'm not doing that because Doug Baldwin's still going to be on the board, right?
If Doug Baldwin's still on the board, like, that's the thing is, like, there's been some drafts. I've been getting a lot of screenshots on Twitter, and I'm sorry, guys, if I have not rated your draft. I cannot rate drafts. Believe me, I can't do it. The best thing to do is import him into the Draft Wizard, and you're able to see the grade that experts would give you.
You all get a C. Go ahead and put him on my Twitter, and I will give you all a C.
I would get C+, C-, I'm sure, in most of my drafts. So, but no, Doug Baldwin has been falling into the fourth round in a lot of them that I've seen, and that's just madness. If you can get Doug Baldwin in the fourth round, I would expect you to go running back heavy in your draft in the first couple rounds, because I'm okay with Doug Baldwin as my wide receiver one. He's like the last one, though, and I would take him over T.Y. Hilton every single day of the week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got Doug Baldwin up there ahead of Mike Evans, who, like we said, he's going 25th overall, wide receiver 9. Now, I want to take him over, like, you know, Jordan Howard, Joe Mixon, if one of those guys are there. Even Freeman, if Freeman was to fall. And I agree, Tags. Freeman is someone that people are a little bit too high in my opinion. And that's because Joe Mixon is going to be a 3-down workhorse. Devontae Freeman is not that. Yeah, he was great 2 years ago. He was pretty good last year, but he's trending backward. And I think Coleman's going to continue to be more and more involved. I'm just not excited about him at 17th overall, especially when you've still got Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Rob Gronkowski all on the board. If I had to pick between those guys at this point, I'm probably going Keenan Allen just because of how dynamite he was at the end of the year. Maybe Devontae Adams because of the touchdowns, but definitely not going Freeman at 17. The other guy in this range that I'm not taking is Dalvin Cook. I've got Dalvin Cook at number 19 overall. He's going 13th overall.
Hater.
Are you a Dalvin Cook guy? You know, I was a big Dalvin Cook guy. I had Dalvin Cook number 9 overall about 4 weeks ago. And then I just can't get over the fact that, yeah, he was a workhorse, but that's because Latavius Murray was hurt those first 4 weeks of the season. He was recovering from his ankle, and I could see him returning to being a workhorse. I just feel like it's too much risk there at the 1-2 turn.
I'm a little concerned about the change of coordinator, not so concerned about the knee. Turns out the Vikings know a little bit about the recoveries from ACL, said Adrian Peterson of 2012 or whatever. So, and it's the same training crew, by the way. Eric Sugarman has been doing a great job there for many years. And so the knee is not a huge concern for me. The fact that he's already running and he's not wearing a sleeve and all that good news.
He looks quick, too. He really does. He looks sharp. I'm just worried about the workload.
Right. And that's legit. And I am maybe a little concerned that early on we see more Latavius Murray. But I think in the end, the talent wins out. You know, you're going to hear me say, if you listen to me on Sirius or catch me on other pods, you're going to hear me say a lot, you know, September is the new August, and there's going to be a lot of volatility anyhow. And it's something we're going to, and this is not getting better going forward, people, you know, as we see more teams not using the full dress rehearsal week 3 preseason games, you know, they're just, everyone's going to be bubble wrapped until September, and then they're going to sort things out. And by October, we're going to know what offenses actually are. And I think we may get a little of that with, you know, the Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray, but I think in the end, the talent will win out.
All right, guys, we're going to move on over to the third round here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about the other sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. First of all, we're giving away a signed David Johnson jersey from PristineAuction.com. All you have to do to enter, and by the way, we are picking on Friday, so you better hurry up and enter if you want a shot at this thing. And if you enter now and miss out on this one, you'll get entered into all future giveaways for the rest of the year. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. It takes like 30 seconds to enter. You just got to leave us a review on iTunes. And those reviews, we read them all. We appreciate all the feedback, and it helps our show as well. So if you don't mind leaving a review on iTunes, submitting for the contest at fantasypros.com/contest. But anyway, guys, I was looking at Pristine Auction. I do several times a week. I haven't been able to as much because it's just been so busy in August. It always is. But last night, I saw this beautiful Miles Jack signed Jags satin gold full helmet, and I almost bought it, man. I put in a bid for $100. I said that's as high as I'm going. It went for $103. I would have loved to have this thing. It is just beautiful. You know me, I'm a Jags fan, and Miles Jack, he's my favorite player. I love Jalen Ramsey too, but there's so many great values on Pristine Auction. Like, it's so much more affordable than you would think. Just yesterday, I saw a Bo Jackson signed helmet for $130, a Raiders one. A Juju Smith-Schuster, it's a beautiful white football. It's a Juju Smith-Schuster signed football, went for $45. And then you've got a Corey Davis black Titans helmet that looks really cool. It went for just $92. It's really affordable. Everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources in the industry. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. They've got something for everybody. So take a look at what they have. Hundreds of lots that end daily. And when you buy something from them, make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep doing these giveaways. Again, that giveaway is fantasypros.com/contest. Okay, so let's move on over to the third round. And Bob, we're going to let you go first here on this one for a couple players that you're wanting to avoid at their ADP.
Looking at the current, half point PPR on Fantasy Pros, LeSean McCoy leaps out, right? I mean, and I guess it's at the conundrum of value is hard to overlook. And all things being equal, we see LeSean McCoy and I'm drafting opportunities. I don't know if anyone's going to get more than him. I don't know if anyone will do less with them. You know, it's a concern. You've lost three offensive linemen, Cordy Glenn, Eric Wood, Richie Incognito gone from that offensive line. You don't have, every year we get guests from around the NFL for the Sirius show. And every time we talk to Mike Rodak of ESPN, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me that Buffalo has the worst receiving core in the NFL, hands down. And he's not wrong. So you have you have a rookie, either a rookie or certainly an unproven starter at quarterback, no matter who it is. I just think this is one that I'm wanting to avoid, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that one as well. I mean, I wouldn't mind getting LeSean McCoy if I'm really in a need for a running back because he's going to get those opportunities. I think he's pretty safe. I don't think the legal stuff is going to happen this year, at least.
Yeah, I think that's a down the road thing, as we've seen in recent years how these things play out. And look, the commissioner can come in and slam the hammer down at any time, but I don't think that's going to happen. But look, if I'm waiting that long, maybe I work a little bit of wide receiver. Maybe I hope Alex Collins slips into the next round, or maybe I take Alex Collins at that point. Just someone I'm more confident in terms of, the supporting cast and what's going on around him. I don't have a great deal of confidence in Buffalo in general.
I would much rather have Jerick McKinnon. I'd rather wait and take Marshawn Lynch, Carlos Hyde. I agree on McCoy. Now, the guy for me is Adam Thielen. Actually, there's two of them in this round. Adam Thielen and Derrick Henry. Adam Thielen does not have Pat Shurmur anymore, who loves the slot. Adam Thielen was mediocre before Pat Shurmur. I think he's going to be mediocre after Pat Shurmur. Kyle Rudolph's there, and Kirk Cousins loves to throw to the tight end. Stephon Diggs is becoming a star. Dalvin Cook is back. I'm just not interested in Adam Thielen at 32. I've actually got him outside my top 20 wide receivers right now. And then Derrick Henry. Deion Lewis is there. I think it's going to be a very similar season for Derrick Henry, maybe a little bit more, but even so, like, he's going 35th overall, and last year, what was he being drafted, 80th? Same situation, right, Tags?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. I mean, it's a different offense, and we don't really know how it's going to work in year one. The thing is Derrick Henry, he's the one who I had on my list as well, him and Thielen. I had a Thielen as a backup one in case you guys used Henry. So you and I are on the same page here. Derrick Henry is going to be extremely game script proof, game script dependent. And if the Titans are losing a game, Derrick Henry is going to let you down in fantasy football. And that's not really what you want out of your third round pick. If you're taking a running back there, you should have a running back who's going to be on the field for all three downs, and it really doesn't matter the script that you have. That's why seeing him drafted over Lamar Miller is kind of puzzling to me. I definitely think people will regret drafting Derrick Henry in the third round when you can get Lamar Miller over a full round later.
Yeah, and Lamar Miller is going to be a workhorse. They have no one else to run the ball.
Right, and so I think, the guy that you mentioned is a guy that I have so much of this year that I mean, Marshawn Lynch, I think it's easy to forget what he did down the stretch last year, the final five games of the season. It seemed like more of a effort to preserve him for his early season kind of low production, but down the stretch when they were really using him, then you see that, you know, 60-yard sideline sprint in the preseason opener. And there are other guys I like later as well. I think, you know, some of those guys that will cover you early, you know, if we're talking about like Peyton Barber, Chris Carson, that maybe can carry you for a month, maybe longer if you get lucky. But yeah, there's just not a lot of interest in overspending on a guy like Henry. That any game, it could be the Deion Lewis show. They paid him. And remember, everyone there is from New England, right? Mike Vrabel played in New England. The GM, John Robinson, from New England. I think they might take a New England-esque backfield approach. So we have another Gordian knot to untie every week as we try to set our lineups.
Bob, I wanted to ask you really quick. Marshawn Lynch is my number one, like, must-have guy with where he's going in the drafts. Is he your guy? Is there somebody else that you just got to have?
He's my guy. And look, I'll tell you that my backup Marshawn Lynch has kind of got me a little worried. It's Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It has been, right? So a little concerned that I'm seeing. So all of a sudden, Bilal Powell goes from a guy this coaching staff apparently had no faith in last year to a guy that they have all the faith in the world in this year so far in exhibition play. We'll see if that's how it plays out. But the price is still not, you know, crazy bad for Crowell. It's not where I was getting him when I was really heavily invested. You know, 9th, 10th round was not unusual to get him in best balls over about a month ago. But Lynch is that guy for me, and his ADP has been rising crazy, too.
I think I've liked every single thing you've said on the show until you said Crowell's name, and I don't know. Now I don't know what to think about. I'm just kidding.
Hey, you know, I think the thing that people overlook about Crowell is, you know, he can catch the ball. He's not like a one-dimensional guy. He's been targeted over the last 4 years every bit as much. I think he has more targets than Bilal Powell over the last 4 years, so... And maybe this is part of it is I was all in on Bilal Powell last year, you know, at his price, thinking, wow, here's a guy that's in nothing. Me too. Maybe I'm confused by all that.
Tags, do you have a round three guy or two, and then we'll move on?
No, you and I, we can go to round four. Yeah.
Why don't you start us with round four?
Well, the round four is obvious right now. It's Royce Freeman. You don't draft him in round four. His current ADP sits in round four. Don't do it. As much as we want to believe in the talent, and I do, his coach obviously doesn't quite yet. And what's crazy about this is Devontae Booker hasn't done anything in the preseason, yet Royce Freeman's gone out there and scored every single game. So there's legitimately nothing that Freeman could have done to win that job. Don't waste a pick on him in the fourth round, but another one, obviously, I know Bobby's going to talk about him, is Deshaun Watson. Like,
Don't steal my thunder.
Seeing his ADP in the fourth round, I don't even need to talk about it just to tell you guys it's bad. I've told you guys on the show multiple times, the only quarterbacks that you should be even considering before the seventh round are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Yep, I agree. What do you think, Bob?
I think if Chris Hogan is going in that range, I'm wondering why for a guy with a career best 41 catches.
41? Oh, man.
Look, 7-11. He's always open. He's playing with Tom Brady. There's no Julian Edelman. All these things seem to work in his favor. And look, I get it. He does have the attraction that in New England, if you're going to be, you know, a productive member of that passing attack, Tom Brady has to trust you. And he seems to have that trust. I just don't know that Hogan's delivered on it. And maybe the opportunities will increase. But I just can't justify spending that kind of pick on him. If I want to pick a guy who doesn't have, you know, a body of work to stand on, I'd rather take Corey Davis at that point.
Ooh, wow, I like that. I've got Corey Davis in my top 20 right now, too. I think he's going to get a huge workload. And I like Chris Hogan, but his ADP's got a little too high for me. Now, Tex, I know you love Chris Hogan. At what point will you stop picking him?
I'm picking him at the end of the fourth round, man.
End of the fourth, okay.
I'm on board with Chris Hogan. So, Bob, I would have agreed with you on this one until I start thinking about it logically. And, like, you go back to last year, right? And the New England offense is a lot different than it was in Chris Hogan's first year there. Obviously, Edelman was on the field. There were things that were different, right? And you go to 2017 with Brandon Cooks alongside of him, and you know, he through the first eight games, which is essentially all he had a chance to play before he got hurt, he was the number 7 fantasy wide receiver. He had received more red zone targets than Brandon Cooks, but Brandon Cooks was still producing as well, because Cooks, I think at that time when he was hurt, I think Cooks was the number 5 fantasy receiver. So there was room for both of them to produce. But when you look at this entire roster, it's like, are we going to dink and dunk the entire way down the field? Is that what the Patriots are really going to do? I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to change the offense entirely. Now, they've always historically targeted the running back position heavily, But Chris Hogan is the only one who has experience in this offense. He's obviously shown chemistry with Tom Brady, especially in the red zone. So when you have Tom Brady's number one option outside of Rob Gronkowski in the red zone, I mean, I think if he plays all 16 games, that is, we're looking at least 8 touchdowns. We're going to see him break 100 targets. And that, to me, is at worst a wide receiver too.
But would you rather have him than like Demaryius Thomas?
Oh, I would take him over.
Larry Fitzgerald?
I told you, I lost all faith in the Broncos coaching staff to do what's right.
I will agree. I have no faith in Demaryius Thomas and very little in the Broncos. That said, I mean, I kind of agree with you about the chemistry with Brady, but I think you're overlooking the most trusted target in the red zone, not named Gronk, and that's James White, a guy that is being widely overlooked in drafts.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite guys to have on the bench.
Or we can just sign Gronk up for 20 touchdowns.
Gronk is like such a great pick. If you could hit on running backs later in your draft, like Gronk is an awesome pick. But
you sold me on him so hard yesterday, Tags. I did a best ball draft and I took Gronk at 16. I felt so good about it.
So and by the way, Hogan's 41 catch season came with Buffalo. He hasn't broken 40 since he's been in New England.
Wow, man. Okay, I've got two names here. One of them, as Tags mentioned, is Deshaun Watson. Here's the reason why. Okay, you take his 9.6% touchdown rate and you regress that back to 5.5%.
But Bobby, he's the best of all time. He's the best of all time, dude.
Okay. You know, everyone's like, well, why are you regressing it? Like, you can just regress anyone's stats then. You're regressing it because the historical average for the greatest quarterbacks, Tom Brady, 5.5, Kurt Warner, 5.1, John Elway, 5.3, all these guys. You think Deshaun Watson is going to break that trend? He's not Aaron Rodgers, okay? I'm sorry, he's not Aaron Rodgers going to get 6.0. Even 6.0 would have shaved like 6 touchdowns off his 18 touchdowns in 5 games last season. If you do that, if you bring him back to 5.5, Deshaun Watson would have been the QB7 in that time. He's coming off a major surgery. He's got the worst offensive line in football. He is super scary. Super scary. I don't have him as a top 6 quarterback. Please do not draft him in the 3rd or 4th round, people.
Bob, everybody knows my take on this. Are you in sync with us here on this one?
I believe I would be in sync with you there on this one.
Good.
I would rather have Philip Rivers, a guy who finishes annually in the top 10 at the price he goes all day long.
The other guy is Tom Brady, and Tags has a boom, bust, and everything in between article series that it's the best series that we have besides your weekly primer that you do, Tags. It's the best one we have on our site. So check it out, boom, bust, and everything in between. But it tells us that Tom Brady was only a quarterback 50% at the time. Tags asked me this question. Do you feel like you could pick up a streamer from the waiver wire every week and more than 50% of the time get a quarterback 1? Yes. Yes, you can. Tom Brady is not better than the top streamer every week. And you're drafting him in the 4th round. If you're drafting anyone besides Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, maybe Drew Brees, as far as I'm concerned, you stream.
And on top of that, Tom Brady lost 2 starting tackles this offseason. He also lost his first round pick, Isaiah Wynn, starting guard. Lost him in the preseason. He lost him for the season. So, yeah, Tom Brady, man, I mean, he's someone that I'm definitely staying away from this year.
Well, first of all, you know, in addition to supporting fellow old people, I'm kind of with you. My issue with Brady has been the late season fades. New England has that tendency to get a little more conservative late in the year. And the fantasy points aren't there down the stretch. And usually in fantasy playoffs, he is not a winning quarterback.
Yep.
For fantasy.
Okay, guys, let's move on into round 5. And we're kind of running out of time, so we're going to move quite a bit faster here. Bob, why don't you give us 1 or 2 names? And then Tags, we'll do the same with you.
Evan Engram, kind of in that range. He is a very good player. A superior talent at the position. Obviously, we saw that last year because why? Opportunities. Where did those opportunities come from? They came from no Odell Beckham. They came from a slew of injuries to other receivers, including Sterling Shepard, who was playing through an ankle injury. I think this year with a full complement of weapons, we're kind of drafting Engram as to be last year's Engram. And I think the goal is drafting this year's best team, not last year's best team.
I'm with you on Evan Engram for sure. He's not going to get the targets. He dropped more passes than anyone else in football. Jimmy Graham, same thing. Tags, I know you are down on Jimmy Graham. He's going 51st overall. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I'm not with that. And the thing is, people can tell me that Jimmy Graham is going to score touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. That's fine, guys.
If he stays healthy.
You are essentially paying for 10 touchdowns is what you're doing when you draft Jimmy Graham there, because he's not going to rack up the yardage. Like with Gronk, people are like, well, if Gronk scores 10 touchdowns, Gronk is going to have over 1,000 yards. Jimmy Graham might have like 600 yards.
I was going to say over or under 550 on Jimmy Graham. I don't know which side I'm taking.
That's why. And he's going to be boom or bust. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he's going to let you down, which means he's essentially a very, very strong streamer with some upside to him. I don't see him getting 8 targets a game, where Rob Gronkowski is going to fall into that category. So I am definitely on board with that. I'm okay with getting Graham as like the 7th or 8th tight end off the board, so you have some room for equity in there. But drafting him there, you're doing it at his ceiling. You can get guys in the 8th or 9th round, like, you know, Trey Burton, like Jordan Reed, who are going to probably deliver better numbers for you. So,
and just quickly, how do we feel about drafting Alshon Jeffrey, a guy currently on PUP who may open the season up in this same range? I kind of like Jeffrey if he's really fully healthy, but that doesn't happen that often. I'm having a hard time drafting him anymore, and I'm finding it harder to rationalize why his price is so high still.
I forgot he was still going in the top 30 wide receivers. I've got him wide receiver 45, Tags.
No, seriously, he was the one on my sheet, Graham and Alshon. I had two guys for most of the rounds just in case I had to give another one. But Alshon, by the way, guys, here's a list of some players who had more yardage than Alshon Jeffrey last year. Rishard Matthews, Jermaine Kearse, Dez Bryant, who currently doesn't have a job, Devin Funchess, Kenny Stills, Cooper Kupp. These guys all had more yardage than Alshon Jeffrey last year. His 9 touchdowns saved him. His 47.5% catch rate is not very good.
He's going to miss 6 weeks.
If we think that Carson Wentz is going to regress in the touchdown department, which, like, looking at his percentage and historically, he's going to, that would trickle down to Alshon Jeffrey. He's absolutely someone that you should not draft in the 5th. If he falls, again, you know the risk-reward there. Alshon has shown that he can finish as a top 20 receiver before, but don't pay for it.
Yep, definitely not. Again, with the quarterbacks, I'm not taking Cam Newton here. Even Russell Wilson at 49th overall, I'm not doing that. I'll take him if he falls to the 7th, maybe late 6th, depending on, you know, how the rest of my team looks. The only other guy in this range that I've got is Deion Lewis. Again, the timeshare, he's going running back 25. He's also not very durable. I don't think there's a ton of upside. Yeah, he was an RB1 last year, but he's playing with Derrick Henry now, so I'm just not really interested in the Titans' backfield.
You have to understand that it's going to be very game script dependent. And if the Titans are going to be playing a team like the Patriots, I'm playing Deion Lewis. If they're playing a team like the Colts, I'm playing Derrick Henry. So it's like, you know, like this is a better backfield targeted in DFS.
All right, let's keep moving on. And I'll start us off this round. It is Kerryon Johnson. I know you don't feel that great about me saying this, Tags, but I'm not drafting Kerryon Johnson. This is from Graham Barfield, he's one of my favorite follows on Twitter for fantasy football. He broke down the backfield first team rotation for the Lions in terms of snap count. You've got Theo Riddick at 30%, Ameer Abdullah 26%, LeGarrette Blount 24%, Kerryon Johnson 20%. It is a full-blown timeshare. I think it's going to stay that way. I haven't been all that impressed by Kerryon Johnson. I think he's fine, but I'm not drafting him this high.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
I know Trey Burton's a very popular guy right now, right? And this is kind of in his range, or maybe a little later. Maybe I'm jumping the gun on a little bit. But I'm not sure he's actually Travis Kelce.
Oh, no.
This just in. He's, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, we all see, and look, you know, I am drafting opportunities. But at tight end, I don't know, you know, there's other bodies there. I don't know that they'll cut in. But until I see Trey Burton actually play like Travis Kelce, I'm not paying him like he's half a Travis Kelce.
Bob and I used to be friends.
Oh, no, this is so sad for me. I've got Burton in my top 6 tight ends. I love the guy. I love him so.
I can justify that, but there are guys going later that are riskier. I realize that I would just rather have that are more proven if they stay on the field. I'm talking to you, Jordan Reed and Tyler Eifert. And look, I realize those are both risky plays, but I mean, you look at Jordan Reed going how many rounds later, a guy that can, you know, absolutely be a top 3 producer at the position, maybe even a top producer.
Number one. Yeah, sure.
So look, and I try to be injury agnostic, and that often works against me, said every roster with Jordan Reed and Tyler Eifert.
I'm fine with Burton going where he's going. If he, you know, I'm just taking whichever of the top 10 quarterbacks is still there. Jack Doyle, Trey Burton, Jordan Reed, Kyle Rudolph, Delanie Walker. I'll wait until that starts to run, and then I'll grab whichever one. I like Trey Burton the most out of those guys. I really love Jack Doyle, but I'm fine with where he's going. Man, there's so many other guys in this range. I just cannot believe they're being taken here. Tags, why don't you scoop up a few?
Hold on, I feel the need to defend Trey Burton for a second. Trey Burton over the last 2 years has obviously played for Doug Peterson, which runs the same style offense that Matt Nagy is going to run. Matt Nagy, I went out and got Trey Burton on the second day of free agency, so it was obviously a high priority signing. He was a hot ticket on the free agent market. There were 7 games where Trey Burton played more than 30 snaps under Doug Peterson. In those 7 games, he totaled 337 yards and 4 touchdowns. All right, so if you extrapolate those numbers, which 7 games, it's almost half of a season, but if you extrapolate them over a 16-game season, they would have amounted to 71 receptions, 770 yards, and 9 touchdowns, which, by the way, would have been the exact amount of PPR points that Zach Ertz scored in 2017 when he finished as the number 3 fantasy tight end. So Trey Burton stepping into that role did, like, when he had more than 30 snaps, he played just like Zach Ertz did. So you don't.
So Mitchell Trubisky is without a doubt every bit as good as Carson Wentz.
Yes, Bob. Yes.
Tight ends all comes down to the offense. Do you think, would people have said that Alex Smith was as good as Tom Brady when Travis Kelce was matching Rob Gronkowski in stats?
I agree with everything you said there. And all I'm saying is it's just a steep price to pay for a guy that has not demonstrated it over the course of handling the full role. And so, look, I mean, I have my shares of him, so it's not like I'm anti. I'm just wondering if the price is worth it when I see guys later. And remember, again, I'm old and mean-spirited and very cheap.
Bob is very cheap. Bob is very mean.
Yes.
Okay, here's my other guys in this range. Julian Edelman. He's never been a top 24 wide receiver. I mean, I think he was top 21 once. He's been drafted 30th overall, and he's going to miss 4 games. No thank you. Will Fuller, again, with the touchdown rate. Do you guys know what Will Fuller did after he came back from his injury? He was just terrible. I understand he didn't have Deshaun Watson. Yeah, Deshaun Watson, he's going to throw 65 touchdown passes this year. It's not going to happen. I would bet anyone he doesn't throw 30. Okay, Will Fuller is going to get a handful of touchdowns. He'll be all right, but he's being drafted as the wide receiver 31. You've got Sammy Watkins at wide receiver 32 with a ton of upside. All kinds of guys going behind him. Sterling Shepard is one of them that I love. Jameson Crowder at wide receiver 41. No interest whatsoever in Edelman. And then we've got Rashad Penny, who last time I checked was 240 pounds. He's probably 250 now because he's already gained 16 pounds this preseason. Oh, man. I don't think he's getting this job back.
In a year when all the news is about, like, second-year guys or guys going into seasons, slim down, they've all learned the lesson of being, you know, less explosive rookies. Here comes Rashad Penny. Give me another plate of macaroni and cheese, please.
Yes. It's something about Seattle. Eddie Lacy goes there, too.
Do you think that he's going to, I almost said, do you think he's going to eat this job? Do you think he's going to win this job back from Chris Carson?
I'm not convinced. Look, Chris Carson would tell you absolutely not. I believe he used other language.
He looks great.
Right. And he was pretty great early last year. And I think on this team, you always pay attention to the draft capital invested. I mean, that does say something. But again, I think they're pretty even-handed in terms of, you know, being realistic about what they're getting on the field. And if Carson keeps – Carson gets the first opportunity, that's worth something to me. And if he can continue to perform as he did early last year and stay healthy, it's hard to imagine him giving up that job in its entirety.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep moving, Tags. Who are a couple more names that come up on the list here soon?
I had Edelman, Fuller on mine. Fuller, it's kind of a joke. I have no idea why he's being drafted as a top 30 wide receiver, guys. And that's the thing is, like, I'd rather draft DeAndre Hopkins in the first round than take Will Fuller and it's a top 30 wide receiver, because at least with Hopkins, you know you're getting production. I just don't know if you're going to get the return on your first round investment. Whereas Fuller, you're drafting him at his ceiling, like legitimately at his ceiling. He caught a touchdown every 7.1 targets in 2017. Going over the last 5 years, there's only been one player who has caught one more often than that, and it was Martavis Bryant in his 2014 rookie season when he caught 8 touchdowns in 10 games. The following year, he caught one every 6 targets that year. The following year, every 15.3. It almost tripled. And I actually went down in a player profile that went up on him yesterday. I went through the players who have had a touchdown per less than 8.5 targets in a season. There were like 10 guys in that list. almost every single guy at least tripled his number the next year. So if Will Fuller goes from one every 7.1 targets, you're probably looking closer to every 20 to 25 targets this year.
So that's 3-5 touchdowns.
Yeah, and if that happens, you're like legitimately crushing his upside. So basically, stay away from Will Fuller. He's like way too expensive. But the last guy I wanted to mention is obviously, it used to be Bob's guy, but he's coming around. And that Isaiah Crowell being drafted in the ninth, there's just other guys in that range being drafted who present so much more potential. Like, Isaiah Crowell will win, like, even if he gets the starting job, which right now it doesn't seem like he's going to have because Bilal Powell's just better. But even if he did get that starting job, it's bad volume. And the reason I say that is because he's good enough to win you fourth place. He's not going to win you a fantasy championship. Meanwhile, there's guys being taken in that ninth round, like a Jamison Crowder who can give you consistent production but shows some upside. Trey Burton, again, he's being taken in that range of Isaiah Crowell. I would much rather do that. I would rather take Marlon Mack. At least I know Mack gives you potential, like RB1 potential. The fact that Isaiah Crowell is away from Hugh Jackson, he's away from his safety net. So no longer do we have to live with Isaiah Crowell being bad while there's a better talent on the roster. I hope not anyways.
Tags, you were taking every point I had to say. So I'm going to need to collect myself. Bob, we'll go to you next.
Quit making me cry. For starters, I wish you would not do that. And by the way, I was going to cite Will Fuller here and use your very stat tags that I actually got from you. Yes, this just in. He won't be catching a touchdown every 7.1. In case there was still any question about that. Rex Burkhead, I don't know. I just can't. I'm not going to – I get that people love him. I get that he's kind of been productive. And in best ball, sure. But in season long, again, I mentioned the Gordian knot that is New England's backfield. If I want a piece of that, I'm going to get the piece that has the more defined role. And that, to me, seems like James White, and I'm getting him at a much better price. So I think I have zero Rex Burkhead this year. Zero.
I'm just so pro Sony Michel that I can't possibly see Rex Burkhead being that good.
Yeah, and Michelle's kind of growing on me given the ADP dropping. And I would say, you know, in terms of Marlon Mack, I wish you good luck with him as I draft Jordan Wilkins about 10 rounds later.
Oh, no, I'm saying I don't have very much Mack, but I would rather draft Mack than Crowell.
Stop that!
I like Mack as the RB37, and then I like Jordan Wilkins as the RB54. Give me them both.
Where do you have Crowell, Bobby?
I've got Crowell. Let me check.
Why are you doing this to me?
Running back 48. Sorry, man.
He's falling down my list as well. This was an earlier season thing, I swear.
Yeah, okay. The other names I've got here, Ronald Jones. I think Peyton Barber's actually got this job. Jones hasn't looked good. Barber has looked quite good. I don't know how long it's going to last, but taking him in 77th overall for a guy who might not start until like week 6, I'm not very interested in that. And then Devin Funchess is the other name I want to talk about. First of all, Cam Newton doesn't know how to pass. Second of all, they've got Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey. They just got DJ Moore. Apparently, Torrey Smith is going to start. I don't know if that's real, but, you know, they've got all these weapons and nobody to pass them the ball. Cam Newton's great with his legs, but he's just not a passer. So Devin Funchess going way backward this year. He's at wide receiver 36. I've got him at wide receiver 47. Yeah, and that about wraps it up for me. Tags, Bob, did either of you have any other names you wanted to share?
No, I think I'm going to just sit here and hold my Isaiah Crowell teddy bear, my boob blanket, and weep softly. Honestly, I'm you know, more in agreement with you on Crowell now than I was, you know, when I was drafting early on, just based on the expectations. I still hold out hopes in those best ball leagues that he gets some goal line carries, but probably not drafting as much of him in the last 2 weeks as I was prior to that.
See, Bob's a smart man.
I learn from my mistakes.
I've changed my mind on more than a handful of players this year, and you just got to admit, you know, if you messed up, I messed up on plenty of them, but hopefully I corrected in time for everyone's draft. So,
oh, hey, by the way, Bobby, can we, like, before the show ends, can we admit our mistake together on Tyreek Hill?
I'm not ready to do that yet.
No, so hold on. Did you know, like, he's played 64 snaps in the preseason? He's been targeted 14 times. He's caught all 14 passes for 182 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, he's good. He's good, but
he's seeing more targets. Like,
Pat Mahomes is not good. Pat Mahomes is actually bad.
That's like a target every 4 snaps. Like, that's.
I mean, obviously, that's not going to continue. He's better than I had him. I moved him up from wide receiver 20 to wide receiver 14, but I'm not drafting him in the top 10.
Yeah, that's fair. We're fair then, because I have him at wide receiver 12 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I guess we can admit together, wide receiver 20 was way too low. Sammy Watkins is not going to pass Tyreek Hill. It could happen. Travis Kelce's going to get some targets. Kareem Hunt, of course. But yeah, I was too low on Tyreek Hill. I'll admit that.
There we go. See, we had a therapy session here at the end, Bob.
I feel much better.
I'm going to finish this off with stat of the day tags. I don't know if you had something prepared, but I do, so I'm going for it. Guys, do you know who the number four? Oh, let me tell you this. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the top three fantasy wide receivers over the past three seasons. Who's number four?
Doug Baldwin.
Devontae Adams.
Larry Fitzgerald, guys.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Three straight 100 catch seasons.
107 or more receptions in the past three seasons, and they just lost 47% of their target share.
Well, they gained back David Johnson, though, so that...
Yeah, they did. Yeah, you're right. They did gain back David Johnson. They added Christian Kirk. Ricky Seals-Jones, he's the starter now. So, you know, I think that cancels it out. But Larry Fitzgerald, he's the wide receiver 17 in ADP right now after Juju Smith-Schuster. In between Juju Smith-Schuster and Brandon Cooks.
No, I have him at 15. So, like, I have him right behind Amari Cooper. Like, I think that's a good territory. And if he's your wide receiver two, be happy about it, but don't draft him as a wide receiver one.
I've gotten 12, man.
I think you might regret that one.
I think that I won't. I think that he's been a top 12 wide receiver each of the past three seasons.
I think the one question is, does he have the same role? You know, Arians used him as the big slot guy. Will Mike McCoy use him the same? But I don't think it matters. There's two guys on that team you can draft right now, and he's one. The other might be David Johnson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sam Bradford. I'm just kidding. Okay, guys, that's all for today's show. Bob, this was a lot of fun. We're going to have to do this again.
Appreciate you guys having me on. It was good seeing you in human form a week ago, Mr. Taglieri, and look forward to seeing that again.
All right, and remember that we've got the Listener League going on, and we're selecting our entries really soon. Go to fantasypros.com/listener league. That's being put on by Sleeper App, where they've got all kinds of cool custom settings. And thanks also to the sponsors of today's show, NFL Game Pass, where you can get a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass at nfl.com/fantasypros. And also pristineauction.com, where they auction off hundreds of lots, very affordable, authentic from only the most trusted sources at PRISTINE. auction.com, and we're giving away a signed David Johnson jersey at fantasypros.com/contest. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool full of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.